Hello, so my name is Tavis Ormandy. I'm an information security engineer at Google. and yep, my talk today is called Exposing Application Internals. It's a topic that I'm really excited about, that I've been working a lot on lately, which is using DBI to assist fuzzing for various reasons. DBI, Dynamic Binary Instrumentation. Probably the most famous example is Valgrind, but there's also things like Pintool and DynamoVio from VMware and Determiner. So one of the tools that I've been working on that I'm going to talk a bit about is called Flare. It's Flare is a tool to assist in fuzz testing. It's based on Valgrind and the Memcheck tool. It uses Valgrind's definition of defineness, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. And we extend that by adding support for taint and propagating taint throughout the application. Basically, Flare allows input from specified sources, which such as read system calls, the network, and eventually things like mmap and so on, to be tainted, and then all everything that has value is based on anything read from this buffer. The taint is propagated to that, and we can track it throughout the program. We've spent a lot of work making sure that the taint propagates reliably and that it's sensible, and we think it's pretty reliable at the moment. But we've used it quite a lot internally. So using Flare, we can taint input from the network or file sources, which is our main use for it at the moment. It effectively allows the auditor to trace input that an attacker can provide through an application. It also supports propagating taint with bit precision, which is useful for things like flags being set based on user input. And we can modify the control flow that's based, that any branch or condition that's based on user input, which we use extensively for fuzzing, which is the main feature of Flare. Basically, we use this to allow fuzz testing to reach hidden code that's deep within the application that would normally be very resistant to reaching through fuzz testing. We may use just naive fuzzing, but even things like block-based fuzzing and intelligent fuzzing is sometimes not gonna touch very, very deep code. So the technique that we use Flare with for fuzzing, we call flaying. We use the feature that Flare provide to expose this code that's deep within the application that normally would be not be exposed to simple fuzz testing, because there's some structure or state or so on that has to be replicated before you can reach this code. So, for example, if you want to, fuzz, say, I don't know, a PNG image, you'd have to hit the magic bytes at the start before the application actually does anything at all. So this is a major problem, because simplistic fuzz testing, in perhaps its purest form, is basically just random input, and it's never going to get very far at all. So what we do is, because we can track where the application uses data that the attacker has provided, we can track what these conditional branches and force the data to get to where we wanted to go, to where we want to test. So say we're interested in fuzzing the, I don't know, some specific chunk that's compressed, and we want to check the compressor. Normally this would be quite a challenging task, because there's no way that a vulnerability is going to be in there, so you're going to have to invest a lot of effort writing a specific fuzzer for this specific file format that's going to reach this code. But that's not the case with Flayer, because we can say we want to hit this piece of code, and Flayer knows when that when the application is making decisions based on what the user's provided. So we can just direct execution to where we want to go. And basically, this is pretty exciting because we can, instead of an expensive initial investment of creating this fuzzer for this specific case, we can basically just pipe in dev random, and it's an effective fuzzer. At the moment, you have to guide Flayer's execution there manually by pointing out how it gets there. But this has been good enough so far for us. But there's some work from some other people recently on using constraint solving, which is clearly a really nice solution to the problem. I've also been working on this as well, but not using constraint solving, using a technique I've been calling program simplification, which I'll talk about a bit later. So this technique has been really effective. We spent some time working on some popular and important open source applications, and we managed to break quite a lot of stuff. We found major vulnerabilities in things like OpenSSL and OpenSSH, and you may be familiar with the libtiff bug that that was used to run unsigned code on the PSP and the Apple iPhone. This bug was also found by us, and we used this method to do it. It's very simple to get started using Flayer, because essentially you just choose the area in the code that you're interested in fuzzing, and you can then just pipe any random data in there. It's really not necessary to invest any effort understanding the protocol or understanding the input or state or replicating the state, which would normally require quite a lot of work. Flayer just makes sure you hit this code every time. You're not wasting any effort at all. So yes, you have to guide Flayer to the location of the code you're interested in, and Flayer just basically it's pretty simple. In fact, that it does is it detects when a branch is being made based on user input. So and it can then using instrumentation, it can decide whether to take a branch or not. But simplistic fuzzing is really very valuable because it's so cheap to set up. We can strip away the structure that surrounds a protocol or file or so on, because normally this for example, if you wanted to fuzz an HTTP server, you're going to have to write an HTTP client to fuzz it, because otherwise DevRandom is never going to produce a valid HTTP request. But using Flayer, we can essentially strip away all the structure from the input that it expects, and leave you with and still reach deep into the application and areas of the code that are interesting from a security perspective. This is the purpose really of Flayer, is to make naive fuzzing smart again, because naive fuzzing is basically just so cheap and valuable that unfortunately it's pretty much useless for anything. Anything anymore, because it requires some form of structure or state. So normally what you would do is use some sort of kind of block-based fuzzing or something similar. A spike is the obvious example. I guess it's pretty outdated now, but this is. Obviously, block-based fuzzing has proven itself extremely valuable, but there's a number of disadvantages, such as if you wanted to fuzz something, you're really reliant on the public specifications. So, for example, an HTTP server, if you wanted to write a fuzz client for this, you'd pretty much just download the RFC and use this as the basis for your fuzzer. But this is ineffective because it ignores perhaps vendor specific proprietary extensions or undocumented features, and you could be wasting a lot of effort on unimplemented features such as web dev. If your HTTP server doesn't support this, then you're basically wasting your time fuzzing this. This isn't the case with Flutter because it you just pick the code and let it run. The code it always hits the correct code and you're always fuzzing it. So Flutter effectively strips away the structure from the application you're testing, and there's you can essentially just pipe it at random data. Because Flutter knows when a decision is based on something that an attacker provides. And so if you find a crash using Flutter, then it's guaranteed that an attacker can hit it. We've also used it to quickly work out what areas in our application need to be audited, because Flutter can point out which areas of code a user input actually reaches. One of the first tasks in auditing is obviously to work out what an attacker can actually touch, and Flutter makes this very easy. But you can quickly see which areas of code that test cases hit, and so on, and where you need to focus your attention. If you've got multiple versions of an application, it's often the case that you've settled on a single version of, say, I don't know, some library, and that if there's a vulnerability in that library, upgrading often isn't an option because the risk of breakage is too expensive, so fixes have to be backported. Using Flutter, you can check that the control flow matches and a known safe version, and make sure that the fix is correct and so on. So Flutter itself is not particularly useful as a for example a command line tool, because it basically just understands branches and flips flags and so on. It's you wouldn't use this on your own. So my colleague implemented a Python library around Flutter that makes it more usable and exports the usefulness, and also an interactive shell that can be used to make doing useful work with the output possible. This is all open source, by the way, and we've released it. Some of the challenges associated with fuzzing, such as very high structured inputs, such as HTTP and FTP and so on, is really that there's no way to hit the very deep code for things that require things like CRC checking and maybe even cryptographic signatures. Just fuzzing it is such a lot of work that we really find that Flutter makes this much easier. One problem with this is that sometimes Flutter finds a crash and it's not possible to generate an input that hits the same crash very easily. It takes a lot of work to reconstruct it because some of the checks that Flutter is directing require, for example, a signature to validate or so on. So constraint solving offers a partial solution, but it's pretty imperfect. So one thing that we're considering is simplifying the program into separate stages. So, for example, if an application is doing a CRC check on some input buffer, and the result is a 32-bit comparison. With random fuzzing, this is simply just never going to trigger. So what we've done, what we're doing is splitting the single 32-bit comparison into smaller chunks, into effectively changing one 32-bit comparison into four 8-bit comparisons, for example, And then and getting feedback based on how far into that comparison the application stepped. So this way we can tell how far it's getting very easily. The chances of hitting the one 8-bit comparison is pretty high, and once we've hit it, then we can continue with the next one and so on until we've got through and we've found the input we wanted. We're pretty excited about this, and it's working pretty well so far. DBI assisted fuzzing is an active research area, and it's really exciting. There's still lots of interesting problems to solve in the topic, and there's lots of interesting things to work on. Just recently, VMware open sourced DynamoRio, which is an excellent framework for DBI, and I think it's going to make a big difference. So I think Flavr isn't really a very graphical tool, or isn't anything interesting to look at, but I can show you an example, I think. So I should have an example of it identifying branches within the MD5 sum binary when it tries to read a file I specify. Okay, so this is based on Valgrind. So you just select the tool as Flavr. You tell it you want to take the input from files. And then you can filter which files you're interested in. Otherwise, obviously, you'd get a lot of output from things like the dynamic loader and reading DSOs and so on. So I'll just show you that. Oops. Ah. Okay. So you can see that it's detected that the binary is reading these tainted values from the file, and it can identify the branches that it takes based on these. Okay. So you can download Flavr. This is the URL to get it from. It's open source, and it also comes with the Python library API. And an interactive shell that you can use to get started with, and that's it. So, does anyone have any questions? Hello. So what we do at the moment is we have a library that identifies the branches within the program, and we can point them to the specific code we want. It's not very graphical or it's not very interesting to look at. The idea is that you give it this random input, and it gets it to the code that you're interested in. So once it generates a test case, then it can show the path it reached to get there, and you can reconstruct the input. Which it's proved very useful to us. Okay, any others? Okay, well, thanks very much.